Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What form is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home,
those boys.
That's... Yeah, they have asked for that, really.
Well, you can laugh. It was the World Cup.
I'm a little bit of an idealist, but having said that, I want to be like me.
But you don't know what you're talking about.
What did you want?
I managed to stay alive for 6 days.
I'm going to need it there.
I'd say it to your face, not say it to you now.
I'm down Swampfield, and we'll see them, won't we?
What you doing down here, you shawnee man?
There isn't a huge amount of joy to be had for professional footballers playing in empty stadiums. We know that, I think, over the course of the last year or so. No rush of adrenaline when the fans cheer you scoring a goal or saving a shot or crunching into a tackle. But the one advantage, the only real advantage I can think of, should be clear lines of communication with your teammates. Say, for example, you're an out-of-form world-class goalkeeper for the defending champions who are in free fall, and you decide for some reason to come charging out of your goal to clear a ball even though your debutant centre-half has the situation covered. In that instance, once you've made that rather crazy decision, the least you can do is let the poor fella know about it. Get the F out of my way. Unfortunately, Alisson couldn't even manage that basic task as he cleaned out Ozan Kabak and not the ball, allowing Jamie Vardy to casually stroll along and deliver another blow to Liverpool's season. Welcome to your short football podcast this Monday. Hi guys, hi Ken.
Owen, how are you?
Hey Owen, how's it going?
In case you missed this one last week, what we're doing here, we've already put out our Six Nations podcast today in which Murph revels in the hilarity of watching Scotland play international matches with the favourites tag. The bigger favourites they are, the more hilarious the fall. But in fairness, we're not exactly ones to talk about losing international rugby at the moment. That's all in that podcast. This little pod is, like last week, a quick Monday football hit to everyone ahead of our full football podcast on the World Service tomorrow in a big Champions League week. So that full podcast will obviously be available to World Service members. And we'll be switching this up as the weeks go on. Sometimes we'll do rugby on as a short podcast and a full football podcast on a Monday. But it's a quick hit today, Ken, and a quick hit. I think we've talked a lot about Liverpool. They aren't the only team who are in something of a free fall. Manchester United haven't exactly kept up. You know, they had a sniff of a title run there a little while ago, and now they're drawing against Burnley, handing Sam Allardyce, I believe, his first home point as West Brom manager, which isn't great.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much since that moment, the when Manchester United went top of the league and went to Anfield, I guess it was, that things have kind of come apart for them. I mean, they've got 2 wins in the last 7, which is the same as Liverpool, who are having their worst run of the Jurgen Klopp era. So
I don't know if you heard Graham Souness's last word just before West Brom Man United started yesterday. It was Souness said, "Listen, Manchester United are just a team who look to me like they just get the job done. They just get the job done." I was like, "No, that's one thing they haven't been doing for the last 3 weeks, Graham." Like, from the moment it looked like they had to start getting the job done, they have failed to get the job done.
Well, it is different. You know, it is a different type of pressure from kind of, being part of a sort of chasing pack to, I'm the leader now with everything to lose. Everyone's looking at me. You know what I mean? It's a pressure which maybe they haven't handled that well. I mean, I think the salient thing here is that Manchester City continue to win games in a row. They have the longest, they're on the longest winning sequence in the entire history of English football in all competitions, which nobody was supposed to be able to do this season. You know, this was a season where that kind of thing wasn't going to happen anymore. You just weren't going to have this type of situation where one team is just combine harvesting points, you know, for weeks or months at a stretch without dropping a single one. And yet this is what Manchester City are doing. Without Kevin De Bruyne, without Sergio Aguero, they're just sort of finding a way. You know, Gundogan trundles harmlessly around Premier League midfields for like 4 years and suddenly just can't stop scoring. Make sense of that. Like, it's just, it's, you know, like...
Trundling is a great word, actually.
That's what he's been doing, trundling harmlessly around. Like a lovely, lovely player, lovely guy, you know, good technical player. You know, the main thing he'd done with Man City was get blamed for big defeats because Guardiola would always pick him in like the Champions League game where City would end up, would blow up. And everyone would say, why is Gundogan playing? Because it's like, dude, you couldn't really see a reason for him being there other than just he's just generally good. You know, he's not particularly quick. He's not particularly, you know, he's not strong. He's not really a dominating player. He's not like extravagantly or obviously skillful in the manner of a De Bruyne or even like you know, or as David Silva or even a Bernardo Silva. You know, he doesn't score. Well, now he scores. I mean, he's the top scorer. It's been this incredible transformation, but he's not the only one. I mean, this Sterling is in an amazing run of form. I mean, not necessarily goal scoring form, but just like some of these kind of zigzagging runs through the penalty area that he's doing are unlike, I think, what we've seen from him before for Man City, where he's been concentrating more on finishing. He seems to just have become a lot more confident recently about trying dribbles, tricky dribbles in the penalty area. Phil Foden obviously has been sensational, you know, scoring and creating goals. Looks one of the best players in the league. So all of these things are adding up together in Man City's favor, and they're just getting away. They wouldn't be getting away as fast as they are if Man United had been able to win more than 2 out of the last 7. I mean, they've only lost one of those, but, you know, this is another disappointing draw. And one thing I think is interesting about it is how you can see, like, the VAR is driving everyone insane. It really is driving everyone insane because, you know, before, like, people complained about referees or whatever, but now everybody believes there's a conspiracy against them. Everyone, from the referees. Yeah. And this is the interesting thing because Harry Maguire, after the game, Harry Maguire said a few things. He said, you're not going to come here and create 10 chances against West Brom, which I saw James Bing of CBS Sports pointing out that literally every team who's played against West Brom since November has created at least 10 chances against them in the Premier League. Literally every single team.
There was like 11 games in a row where someone had scored 2 goals or more against West Brom.
Yeah.
Is that since Sam took over?
You know, it's whatever. We know what Harry Maguire meant. He meant it's a Sam Allardyce team. They're going to keep it tight, you know, whatever. Obviously, it's a Sam Allardyce team that have been losing most of their games, and Manchester United clearly should win if they have any hope of trying to catch up with a team like Manchester City. But Maguire also said, ever since other people from other teams spoke about us, we've had absolutely nothing from the referee or VAR. At the moment, we're playing without them. I mean, he seems to suggest that, like, previously, you know, VAR mit uns. But no, at the moment, we're playing without them. So we've got to make sure we're not leaving the game in the hands of the referee or the VAR. Okay. I mean, previously, it was like we could say it's in VAR's hands and that will usually be in our favor. That seems to be the implication of what Maguire is saying. I'm sure he'd say, no, that's not what I mean. But, like, what it demonstrates is, so Maguire here, I assume, is talking about Jurgen Klopp rather than Richard Keys. Right, he means Klopp, from Klopp of Liverpool, rather than Keys of Bein, when he talks about people from other teams speaking about us and referees. And what this shows is that, I mean, what Klopp said, remember, was like, oh, you know, so I hear now they've had more penalties in 2 years than I've had in 5. Well, you know, I'm sure that's normal. This was his comment. Mm-hmm. And Maguire is giving voice to a belief, which I think he's not the only one who has this belief, that Manchester United are now getting ridden by the refs. So I don't know if this is to say that Jurgen Klopp's curse on them is the one successful thing that's happened, that's come out of Liverpool FC in the last 6 weeks or whatever. But what I think it shows is how kind of everyone is so deep into their own reality silos now that, like, you know, everyone thinks that, like, they are the victim of a conspiracy. Obviously, Liverpool have believed from months back that they are the victims of a vast refereeing conspiracy, right? A vast refereeing conspiracy to prevent them from winning a second league title in a row. And there's, you know, there's millions of examples. You know, I mean, the most recent Leicester game, the goal that's given to Leicester is fury over this, because you see, there's an amazing graphic which you may have seen going around social media, which just, it just looks so insane, right? Like, there's just so many pictures. When I saw it first, I thought it was like a gag, but actually it's serious, where it's showing like several images of this goal or the ball. This is Madison's free kick coming in, and Firmino is a Liverpool player who's playing Amarte on side, and so they're showing, but Firmino's foot is actually parallel with the goal line, but the line is drawn as though his foot is pointing towards the goal line, and therefore there's an extra couple of inches, and the line drawn from Amarte's shoulder is like his, you know, is drawn from here, but if you look at a previous instance, they drew the line a bit further down the player's arm, and there's like just so much data on it that it just looks completely crazy. It's like, this is crazy, and what we're arguing over here is like a centimeter, 2 centimeter offside call. Right. Now, obviously, it's a call with major ramifications, but it is one of those micro calls, which is very much in the realm of kind of bullshit, and you feel ridiculous sort of getting angry about. But it all is grist to the conspiracy mill. Then there's Mane getting shoved to the ground by, I think, Johnny Evans just before the second goal, and it's like, well, it's a conspiracy. Meanwhile, over at Manchester United, the conspiracy is also against them. Because Harry Maguire, obviously, as you can say, some people from other teams. So against this, against West Brom, Diagne is allowed to score for West Brom. He's got a hand in Lindelof's face on the freeze frame. You can see that his hand is covering Lindelof's eyes. How's Lindelof supposed to get to that ball? You know, I have to. It's a weird one, actually. I wonder what you both made of that goal, because I didn't think it was a foul at all, but then you see that freeze frame and you're like, well, he does have his hand over the guy's eyes.
I didn't think anything of it at the time. Didn't even think it was going to be controversial until it was brought up afterwards as watching. Basically, it was brought up because it was a weird one that Harry Maguire brought it up in his. He said, look, I know he's out-muscled Victor there. But he's also wrestling him to the ground, essentially, so it should be free. But Ian Wright said, well, yeah, okay, but you just have to win those physical battles, so good luck.
Yeah, that's not a foul. Like,
no, I didn't think it was a foul either. I mean, I thought it was very definitely not a foul. Like, you often see a foul in that sort of situation where the guy sort of tries to go through the defender, like by sort of pinning him with his hands. You know, Maguire had a goal ruled out against Burnley, which is part of the refereeing conspiracy against Manchester United. But to me, that was a foul, as in, you know, he's climbing over the guy and sort of pinning him down illegally. Whereas in this case, Diagne sort of very, in a quite unusual way, kind of came around the side of Lindelof and just got to the ball first. And Lindelof had this hand in his face, but at the same time, sort of needed to go for the ball, you know what I mean? Which he didn't really do. Anyway, the point is, this is part of a conspiracy. So this is most of us would look at that and go, well, I mean, it's a goal. But quite a lot of Manchester United fans are like, look, how can the VAR see this and allow this goal? Then you had this penalty against Maguire, which they looked at over and over again, apparently not noticing that Maguire at the beginning of the move was offside.
That was Solskjaer's big thing. It was quite funny to watch Solskjaer saying, look, it wasn't it shouldn't have been disallowed for that reason. It should have been disallowed because it was offside in the first place. So they shouldn't have, they wasted our time not noticing the offside and then having to play and replay the foul, which he doesn't think there was one, you know.
But there, like, I mean, yeah, again, so that was maybe not the biggest complaint from Solskjaer. They reached the correct decision against my team for the wrong reasons in that instance. But if you go back, okay, what else has been going on? Southampton 9-0. You might say, well, Southampton had 2 players sent off, including 1 red card, which was rescinded for a foul in which Manchester United also got a penalty. Surely the refereeing in this instance wasn't against Manchester United, but it was, because you've forgotten how the penalty against Cavani was changed to a free kick, even though Greenwood had scored from the rebound. You've probably forgotten that. You'd probably forgotten that. What about the Sheffield United game before that at Old Trafford? David De Gea, fouled, blatantly, shoved, blatantly. Goal for Sheffield United, given. Harry Maguire, sure, he body slams the Sheffield United goalkeeper. The goal by Martial, not given. Why not? You know, you're saying this is normal? You're saying there's nothing going on here? They've had a chance to review the footage and this is the decision? that they cough up. What about the Fulham game? The penalty against Fred? I mean, are we saying we haven't seen this footage? How do you explain these decisions, if not by conspiracy? This is what I mean. Mm. It's driving everyone insane. It would be better if you could say, look, the referee's having a pulse notion of what's going on.
So basically, Man City, the only ones, all of these conspiracy theories are in favour of Manchester City, who have their own ongoing conspiracy theory against UEFA. So,
UEFA, we know that UEFA have been screwing Man City forever. I mean, the only reason they let them back into the Champions League was that they could continue to screw them in ways which will become clear over the coming weeks, because the Champions League.
You're looking at this far too narrow, Ken. Yeah. You know, the Premier League are conspiring to get Man City's confidence soaring, get their dreams of, you know, an unprecedented quadruple firing, only for the big reveal this weekend, this week and next week in the Champions League, where Man City will be absolutely royally screwed over by UEFA, and UEFA and the FA acting in cahoots will drive Pep Guardiola out of the game.
Well, they drive him out of English football.
Yeah, I mean, if the Man City players have anything about him, they will probably retire en masse, given the grand conspiracy the big football is cooking up for them.
City are going to get it. You know, Leicester sitting pretty at the moment, but we all know, you know, we're looking at that top four and there's a face that doesn't fit. You know, we all know that. We all know there's a face that just doesn't fit there, and so we'll see what can be done about that to ensure that the elites are able to put down the civil insurrection of the men. So VAR, this is the main effect of it. It doesn't stop people arguing over decisions. We can see that, but it does make everyone believe that the decisions are out of corruption rather than incompetence. So that's where we are today.
Well, just on the face that doesn't fit in that top four, there was a good tweet from @BagrupSpurs saying, death is a difficult subject, so I guess Brendan Rodgers talking about it like it was a tough away game to a Tony Pulis side is as good a way as any.
Obviously, Jurgen's mother passing away at 81, and whatever age it comes at, once that sort of mortality kicks in, it's very, very tough.
Yeah, I think pretty accurate from @BagrupSpurs on Twitter there. It sounded a bit like...
Yeah. I think, you know, I think it's, you know, as good a way as any. I mean, there is no good way to talk about this stuff. I mean, you don't often see people discussing mortality in Football Manager press conferences. And sometimes, I suppose, the mode of expression is difficult to change. You know, you want to say something kind of a little bit profound, a little bit consoling. But at the end of the day, you are a football manager sitting in a press conference, actually looking at football journalists on Zoom, I guess. I don't know if they do socially distanced press conference. And sometimes it's just hard not to slip into the same sort of rhythms and vocabulary, indeed, of football talk.
It's not the message, it's the forum, you know? If you're asked a question in the press conference forum, it turns out, actually almost impossible to answer like an ordinary human being. So I'm prepared to give Brendan Rodgers some slack on this one.
Unless you're Sean Dyche talking about his lookalikes. But listen, that's one that we covered in too much depth last week.
I can't believe I didn't even mention David Luiz, the referee conspiracy against David Luiz. I saw someone tweeting about it, where Arsenal were given a penalty against Leeds. Arsenal obviously had great fun against Leeds. Leeds playing the game the right way, at least as far as Arsenal were concerned, and blasting in four goals and wonderful tonic for the whole club. But I can't remember who tweeted this. I'm sorry, I should give you credit, but I can't remember who it was. Just saying, he was obviously at the game and heard Luiz, when the referee had given a penalty to Arsenal, but then was told by VAR, you might want to have another look at this, and was on his way over, and Luiz screams, penalty and a red card, like a Wolverhampton. So that was obviously the referee's vendetta against him. But he's just, like everyone else, an innocent man wondering how, you know, he got to be the villain here.
Ken, stop talking now. I need you fresh and ready to go for your football podcast for World Service members tomorrow. And what a night it's going to be tomorrow night. Leipzig against Liverpool in the Champions League. Also Barcelona against Paris Saint-Germain. A Paris Saint-Germain team minus Neymar. The sadness is huge. The pain is immense. And the weeping is constant, says Neymar about himself after getting injured and missing out on this game, unfortunately. But lots of other superstars on show there, I'm sure. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Owen.
Thanks, Murph.
Thank you, Owen. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Kieran.
Thanks for listening to this one. Sign up for Fiverr a month plus VAT if you're not already signed up to hear Full Football Podcast tomorrow.
Once that sort of mortality kicks in, it's very, very tough.
Out in the street, they call the
the second time he's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuaders of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.